This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A month after they were approved by the U.S. House, House impeachment managers delivered the two articles of impeachment to the U.S. Senate yesterday after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi formally signed them. House managers will now return to the Senate today to exhibit the charges of abuse of power and obstruction of justice. Senate Majority Leader Republican Mitch McConnell describes the oath that members will then be taking later today.
Then the Chief Justice will swear in all of us senators. We'll pledge to rise above the petty factionalism and do justice for our institutions, for our states, and for the nation.
The trial itself will begin on Tuesday. The president of Guatemala says Mexico has blocked a caravan of migrants headed to the United States, saying they would not be allowed to cross Mexico's southern border at Honduras. And this is USA Radio News.
If you're thinking about life insurance from low-cost term to business or estate coverage or perhaps a small policy to cover your final expenses, why spend more than you have to? Hi, I'm John David Wells from the Wells Report. Since 1986, AccuQuote has helped hundreds of thousands of folks save a fortune on their life insurance by quickly comparing the rates, features, and financial strength of dozens of top-rated life insurance products right over the phone. Want some examples? A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy a $500,000 10-year level term policy for less than $45 a month. Oh, you say you're 60? No problem. Under $120 a month. 20 or 30 year terms, even permanent plans are available. Okay, so you might have some health problems, huh? Lots of us do, but the experts at AccuQuote will still work with you to find the best affordable policy. To find out how much you can save, call AccuQuote today, 877-439-8830. That's 877-439-8830. 877-439-8830. AccuQuote. Call them today.
Each policy plans and availability vary by state.
The U.S. Senate votes today on a major trade agreement with Mexico and Canada meant to replace NAFTA. The United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, or USMCA, is expected to pass and go to President Trump for his signature. Britain's Prince Harry making an announcement yesterday, the first time he's been seen publicly since the start of the row over the recent announcement that he and his wife, Duchess of Sussex Meghan Markle, would be stepping away from their duties as senior members of the British royal family. Harry saying the 2022 Invictus Games will be in Dusseldorf, Germany.
In 2022, the Invictus Games will travel to a new country, a new home for respect for our armed forces.
The annual game showcased the talents of sick and injured service members and veterans. The wrestling world's mourning the loss of Rocky Soul Man Johnson. He's died at the age of 75. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
For the first time in history, the Pope has named a woman to serve as manager of the Vatican's Secretary of State's office. USA's Wendy King reports.
Francesca Di Giovanni, a 27-year-old professional in the Catholic Church. Pope Francis announced her appointment as Undersecretary for the Section of Relations with States. Di Giovanni has worked in the multilateral sector and focused on migrant and refugee matters in the office, and she specializes in international humanitarian law, communications, private international law, and intellectual property and tourism. The move is in line with Pope Francis's prior comments favoring a greater role for women at the Vatican. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
President Trump today is to announce a new federal effort that he says will safeguard students' ability to pray in school. They can already pray alone or in groups at school just as long as other students aren't compelled to join in. And there will soon be two new soda and coffee drinks on store shelves. Coca-Cola is launching three flavors, dark blend, vanilla, and caramel. The 12-ounce cans have 70 calories and more caffeine than regular Coke. It's been a success in Europe, so the company decided it would try it here. Pepsi also announced its coffee cola last month. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Happy New Year. I guess we could still say that, right? Good to have you along with us. I'm Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. Michael Rubin is with us, and we've got lots to talk about with Michael, former Pentagon official, American Enterprise Institute scholar, of course, the author of the book Dancing with the Devil, The Perils of Engaging Rogue Regimes. He's a former Pentagon official, as I say. Major research areas include the Middle East, Turkey, Iran, and diplomacy. And he couldn't be here at a more opportune time for our benefit. Michael, always good to have you with us. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Okay. A lot bannered about the whole Iran issue in the environment of the body politic. Politics runs wild. Break it down for us outside of the political lens. What is really happening with Iran?
Well, you know, first of all, when it comes to General Soleimani, what I don't understand is the questions which are being bantered about whether an attack was imminent or not. To me, that's completely irrelevant. This is a man who had been responsible for the deaths of hundreds of Americans, and he had promised to be responsible for the deaths of hundreds more. Mm-hmm. And he was a target of opportunity. He was along an airport road, which is reserved just for airport traffic at a time when no commercial planes were scheduled, and no one was around. I honestly believe that if George Bush or Barack Obama were given the same opportunity, they would have taken it.
Mm-hmm.
That said, it's important to understand that Qasem Soleimani was the second most important man in the Islamic Republic. According to some polls taken inside Iran, and I'm talking a few years ago, he was either the first or the second most popular man inside Iran. Mm-hmm. And that's because most Iranians saw him as someone who was single-handedly responsible for the defeat of the Islamic State. Now, our audience might say, hey, that's nonsense, but this is an indication.
That's likened to Al Gore inventing the Internet almost, right?
Well, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that itself is an indication of just how bad American information strategies are, that Ayatollah Khamenei, the supreme leader of Iran, has said multiple times that Soleimani was the person responsible for this, mm-hmm. and that the Americans were the creators of the Islamic State. Now, that's nonsense, but if he's preaching this into a void, and it's being reinforced constantly, it mm-hmm. creates a perception which is completely at dissonance with reality. Now, the other thing to understand about Soleimani, and this will be the final thing I say on it, is that he also had a huge portfolio. He wasn't just a military operator or a terrorist on any portfolio that the Iranians saw as important. For example, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon. He was, in effect, de facto foreign minister for that. Mm-hmm. And so here you had a man who was responsible for, lots of murders, mm-hmm. and on top of which was responsible for being the trusted messenger of the supreme leader. So ultimately, the Iranians are going to have a hard time replacing him. It's not a slot that someone else can simply fill.
Michael, regarding diplomacy here and this whole issue of Soleimani being a militant, a total militant, but being associated with the government, somehow that was some sort of protective technicality.
Bill, when we look at this, there really was no difference in the aims of Osama bin Laden, the late al-Qaeda founder, mm-hmm. and Qasem Soleimani. The fact that Qasem Soleimani also had a position as in charge of export of revolution on behalf of the Islamic Republic of Iran shouldn't absolve him of terrorism. Rather, it should be an indictment of the reality of the Islamic Republic of Iran today, that in effect it is a terrorist group masquerading as a state. And so we need to recognize that. The other thing we need to recognize is as we work ourselves up into a political maelstrom with regard to, was it wise, could the Iranians respond, where might the Iranians respond, and all that, just the very fact we're talking about worldwide retaliation is indicative of just how much of a global reach the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and its proxy Hezbollah have.
I'm glad you point that out, because we said earlier, Michael, that this has all been quite, an exposing opportunity where the veil is pulled back. And what are we seeing here? And it seems that people are so quick to enter in, you know, their opinions as opposed to stepping back. And, you know, as you did, you wrote an excellent article about the U.S. failures, and you touched on this already, on informational strategies that have complicated the Iraqi situation. It confuses the body politic. And whenever there's confusion around, it seems to give politicians and that side of, you know, the perspective, a lot of wiggle room here. But, sometimes we have to wait for historians like yourself and others to come alongside and try to put the pieces back together. But meanwhile, we're in the midst of this and we need to be careful, don't we?
We absolutely do. Look, it is very, very unhealthy, and it doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, for national security to be used as a political football the way it is right now, and frankly, the way it has been in the past. It's not just a Democrat on Republican thing. It's gone both ways. But if I had to fault President Trump for playing into this, in the past, there's been high-profile assassinations in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. In 2005, the Iranians were responsible for the murder of former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafi Kadiri in downtown Beirut, but they never claimed responsibility for it. And in 2008, the Israelis were responsible for the death of terrorist mastermind Imad Mughniya, who was the person responsible for the 1983 Marine Barracks bombing. But again, the Israelis never claimed responsibility for it. I think it would have been much wiser if President Trump had ordered the death of Qasem Soleimani when the opportunity presented, mm-hmm. and then simply remained silent. And sure, everyone would have guessed that the United States was behind it, but had we remained silent, it would have allowed us to have some plausible deniability.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And lest I be accused of being partisan, I criticized Barack Obama for the same thing in 2008 when he crowed triumphant about the death of Osama bin Laden and thereby put a ticking clock on all the intelligence we had received from his lair.
Well, not to mention they put crosshairs on SEAL Team 6.
Absolutely. That we do need to recognize that perhaps sometimes the national security prerogative should be superior to the political desire to crow triumphant.
Yes. Spiking the football, as they say, Boy, I'll tell you, there is need for humility. And, of course, it's especially tough when you have a president right now that has a hard time, you know, really grasping that concept. I know that his base likes it, that he is so outspoken. But I'm like you. I think in the realm of diplomacy, humility can go a long way. And you can be very effective in carrying a big stick but walking softly, right?
Absolutely. But also we need to give the president credit where credit is due. He ordered the hit on Qasem Soleimani, on Qasem Soleimani, and that was the right thing to do. And what we're seeing from a lot of the presidential candidates in their debate is that they would not have made the same decision. You know, that's healthy to expose the leadership philosophies of different people. And just like Obama was correct to go after Osama bin Laden, Trump was correct to go after Qasem Soleimani.
Got to go to...
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. That's right, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
800-932-1789. 800-932-1789. 800-932-1789. That's 800-932-1789.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. Here's what our customers had to say.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
If you're testing your blood sugar 4 or more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, a CGM can help you. It's accurate, easy to use, and if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping of your new CGM, and we can bill Medicare for you.
Honestly, I had my doubts, but that new CGM is painless.
Call now. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Values, faith, service, they still exist.
exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
People in Iran are happy, and they are giving out, you know, in the Middle East, it's cultural practice to, when something wonderful happens, when there's a marriage or when there's a celebration, you give out cookies, you make cakes, and you should see the videos that are coming out. People are baking cakes. People are giving out cookies in public, in the streets, because they're happy. You know, I mean, I don't know. Do we live in a closed society that we don't know that most people in, you know, in the Middle East are not free? Specifically in Iran, it's an Islamic state. There's no freedom of religion. There's no freedom of speech. There's no freedom of peaceful, protest. And for anyone who disagrees with the regime, they're arrested, they're jailed, they're tortured, you know. And yeah, there's a lot of video coming out right now about, you know, the funeral of Qasem Soleimani. It's so much propaganda, you guys. The regime has been saying death to America for 40 years. They forced us in school to say death to America. I was 7 years old. I didn't know what I was saying. And the people that are, like, saying that right now, they're called the Basiji. They're like, you know, they're getting paid. They're the ones that get paid to kill people on the street. So yeah, they're going to say death to America, but that's not the people. The majority of the people in the Middle East don't hate America. They don't hate Donald Trump. And I'm probably going to lose a lot of friends for saying this, but thank you, Mr. Trump, for making a very hard decision and for having the moral courage to do something that probably a lot of world leaders wouldn't have had.
Michael Rubin is with us, former Pentagon official and American Enterprise Institute official as well. Michael, to your point that you have written about, the information strategy and who is owning the narrative here. These words are coming from an Iranian activist. And, you know, she's talking about the oppression that is taking place that, that is not being told in the mainstream media. I mean, we have to. It's almost like we have to fight for the truth to come out. And I'm so disappointed in the mainstream media because they're failing to do the service and to provide their reason for life and existence in this country and why we have a free press to give us an objective viewpoint. I mean, here in this country, to step away from, you know, the political angles of how much everybody hates Trump and they want to impeach him. But what they're doing, you know, to our foreign policy and the strength of what we're trying to accomplish here, I mean, they're really compromising all that, and you're getting, you know, the words from somebody on the ground there in Iranian, a young female activist, and breaking it down for us, and these people are baking cakes, they're celebrating in the streets, and I would say at their own personal risk of doing that, because she already said that if you don't behave, you get, you get beat up, you get jailed if you're not with the, with what the Ayatollah is saying that you should behave.
Well, two things bother me. First of all, when journalists go, and for example, National Public Radio is there right now. You also have the New York Times, who has a correspondent in Iran. What the journalists don't often say is that they're forced to take government minders. And frankly, there should be a disclaimer on any story that comes out saying, this is the story we're writing, but we had a government minder in our presence the yes. entire time. The fact that they hide that, or the fact that they have to pay the Ministry of Islamic Guidance for guidance, is deeply problematic. You've also got a situation where journalists are more or less limited to Tehran. And so talking about Iranian society from Tehran is like talking about upstate New York or the center of Iowa or North Dakota from the upper west side of Manhattan. And so why don't the journalists get out more? Simply because they're not allowed. And this is a situation that comes during elections when people take the Iranian facts and figures for granted instead of looking at what voter turnout really is. And it's a figure in a story like this. But it's not just in Iran. I mean, in Iraq, one of the best videos I saw was in the southern Shiite city of Nasiriyah, where protesters, or not protesters, but people rushed into the street alongside the day that Qasem Soleimani was having his funeral, and they held a procession, a funeral procession for a garbage can, and buried the garbage can as their response to what Qasem Soleimani had done.
You know, amazing by contrast, you mentioned that Barack Obama, during his administration, with the killing of Osama bin Laden, you know, people are out in the street here in America, you know, chanting, USA, USA. Ironically, here we are, we kill the number one terrorist on the planet, all things considered, in Soleimani, and there's no cheering in the streets of America. Interesting, the cheering is taking place in the homelands of Iran and Iraq.
Well, I mean, it's a sign of a sick society, and that's where we are right now with the political polarization and the subordination of any concept of what America stands for and national security to the political headlines of the day.
Well, Michael, your focus on national security brings us to the War Powers Act. What is your opinion there in terms of the latitude that the president should have, that the presidents of past have been able to exercise, and why we may be on dangerous ground again through this lens of this dislike for this current president, what we may be doing to future presidents?
Well, on one hand, I'm a constitutional conservative, and I think that for too long, presidents have exaggerated their ability to wage war when it's ultimately the Congress's duty to declare it. But what we saw against Qasem Soleimani wasn't a declaration of war. It was a one-off attempt to neutralize a figure who was responsible for the deaths of hundreds of Americans, and to suggest that the president can't even go after a single person in a one-off strike is undermining both, it's adverse to the Constitution, and it's undermining the office of the presidency in the U.S. military. The fact of the matter is, Qasem Soleimani was a target of opportunity. He was someone who had declared war on the United States, and if we had asked 500 congressmen and senators for their opinion first, we never would have been able to do it. I see a corollary, for example, to the death of Osama bin Laden, which, by the way, of course, was on Pakistani territory, and we didn't have anyone get up and say, this means that the United States is going to war with Pakistan. I think Democratic congressmen, I think many journalists are deeply doing the United States a disservice with this. And what I would say just with regard to journalists is when I read their Twitter feed and I can tell who they're voting for, then that's a sign that they're doing journalism wrong.
Exactly. I would agree with you 100%. There was some problem and debate over the military briefing to Congress and the Senate. And, of course, the mainstream media drew out of that their own worldview and their own perspective, which I believe was quite prejudiced. I don't think any of the senators, especially Mike Lee, disagreed with the taking down of Soleimani. I think what he was trying to, the point he was trying to make is, hey, going forward, how do we address this? And as you say, being a constitutionalist, and Mike Lee is very, very much like you and I. I mean, we want to have anchoring points within the Constitution. And he thought that their answers were quite vague. And I thought that that was a fair comment on his part.
It was, but of the criticism I've seen of the briefing, and of course I wasn't at the briefing, I think a lot of the criticism is a red herring. The question is being devolved down into whether or not there's an imminent threat from Qasem Soleimani. And the fact is, to me, that simply is irrelevant. The man had planned and plotted the deaths of hundreds of Americans, and he was planning and plotting the deaths of hundreds more. And so whether or not he was planning an attack the next day, to me, is completely irrelevant. And let's not forget, he actually was so cocky, he showed up at the American embassy in Baghdad as it was under siege. This is a man who we didn't want to play around with.
Well, Michael, as been said, you may not be interested in war, but war is interested in you. Even as this young activist had said, you know, for 40 years, Iran has declared war on America. So we may not be at war with Iran, but as they see it, they're at war with us. We got about 20 seconds left. I'm going to let you wrap it up.
you're absolutely right there, and we do need to have some broader perspective. It's not all about our political calendar. It's not all about us. And we need to realize that no endless wars, you know, it's nice to say, but sloganeering is not a strategy.
Well, maybe we should believe people when they say death to America, right? You know, most people don't know they're missing the most important nutritional components in their diet. You know, if we really want to feel good and not miss work and get the most of each day, then we need the immune and growth factors in bovine colostrum. As a newborn, colostrum passes on immunity from our mother's lineage. It helps our body recognize when we're under attack and fights all those nasty microbes we're exposed to from birth. But the most important job colostrum does for newborns is to seal our GI tract. Unfortunately, it doesn't stay sealed. Leaky gut affects 8 out of 10 people, passing undigested foods, germs, and toxins into our bloodstream. It happened to me and caused unbelievable trauma to my immune system and gut. Fortunately, Sovereign Laboratories Colostrum LD can help. Taken daily as part of a healthy lifestyle, Colostrum LD can help you feel good every day. I feel great on this product. To learn more, go to PreventLeakyGut.com. That's PreventLeakyGut.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news is a top government watchdog says in a just-released report that the Trump administration did break the law by withholding congressionally approved military aid to Ukraine last summer for a policy reason. The Government Accountability Office report coming a day after the House of Representatives sent articles of impeachment against President Trump to the Senate for conduct related to his withholding that aid to Ukraine. Trump had refused to release the funds at the same time he was pressuring the country's new president to announce investigations by that country of former Vice President Joe Biden. The U.S. Senate is headed today towards passage of the big North American trade deal to replace NAFTA. Senate Majority Chief Mitch McConnell saying it will create jobs and boost economic growth. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
I'm going home, where the streets are golden. Every chain is broken. Oh, I want to go. Oh, I want to go home.
Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us. Good to have you along with us. As hey, we pursue the truth no matter where it leads, 5 days a week, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, right now, 28 before the top of the hour. Our next guest, Laura McCowan, interesting story that comes from her experience of life, the surprising magic of a sober life. I mean, it's raw, it's honest. And, you know, for those that need to hear this message, this could be life-changing. The title of her new book, We Are the Luckiest. Laura, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hi, thanks.
Hey, interesting. We Are the Luckiest. Who would have thought that somebody who has been dealing with addiction finds herself to be the luckiest?
I know. Well, that's why I named it that, because it's pretty, it's counterintuitive, right? We think that, I thought, certainly.
Sure.
That it was a very unlucky thing, kind of the end of everything, and it turned out that it was not.
Mm-hmm. How did this happen for you, you know, becoming an alcoholic? I mean, like anything, you know, we always hear the stories that it's all so subtle. It's just one drink at a time or something.
Yeah, it was. I certainly didn't look like what people, I mean, I don't even call myself an alcoholic just because to me it's like, it's a word that I don't like, but it's mm-hmm. fine because it's what everyone understands. Right. I think in Carolyn Knapp's memoir, which is beautiful, it's a drinking a love story. She calls it a slow, elusive becoming. And it is. It's like there's some invisible line that you cross at some point where it changes. And I can see periods of my life where it changed for me, where my drinking became more problematic or just different.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly, never set out to wake up one day and be in the kind of situation that I was in, where I was drinking nightly and I had no control over how much I was going to drink or didn't know what was going to happen when I drank.
It just became a lifestyle, did it?
Totally. And I worked in advertising. Not only was drinking part of the culture, over-drinking was part of the culture, sort of expected. And I had friends who, I surrounded myself with people who drank and it just was part of who I was. I mean, I grew up in a family where that was the way we lived, and I didn't think much of it. I really didn't. And so it was kind of...
Was the family example excessive, or was just alcohol, the parents had a nightly drink? What did that home life look like?
My parents were divorced, and so I had different homes, it was what would be considered normal, dinner, drinks with dinner,
right.
A glass or two of wine at night. So, but it never occurred to me that I wouldn't, it seems like drinking was just this foregone conclusion. Like you're going to drink when you become an adult, right?
Right. Exactly. And as you say, you start, it's that old saying, birds of a feather flock together. And, you get a group of people who come together and this becomes a cultural experience, something that you just have to do. I'm a little bit familiar only because not that I, went to the level that you did, but I saw myself getting in, getting into that, that romantic entanglement. With addiction, and fortunately, thank God, I was able to catch myself before I got to the degree that you did. But the fact of the matter is we realize that we're vulnerable.
Correct, and we realize the sort of fascinating thing about alcohol in our culture is that we think that there are people who can drink fine, and then there are people who can't, and that those are the alcoholics. And if you're not an alcoholic, then you're fine, right? Even if you drink a lot, it's fine. The reality is there's a very, very big gray spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And alcohol is a very powerful drug. We don't think of it like that, really. Mm-hmm. We kind of think of it as this sort of benign, we use it to celebrate, and it's just there.
Right, right.
But I read this fascinating article over the weekend that said if alcohol came out as a drug today, it would be banned.
Mm-hmm.
It's powerful.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that it is a bit elusive in as much as that we think that, we're under control. And you are as long as you are. But the fact of the matter is, you're setting yourself up as what happened with you is that you just kept on going. I mean, it wasn't, it wasn't problematic for you until it became problematic,
right? Until it was. That's right. As they say, it sort of works until it doesn't. And you brought up a great point because I think we have this idea that if someone gets addicted to alcohol or anything in drugs, that it's their fault, somehow. And it's an addictive substance. And eventually anyone would become addicted. If you use it enough, it's just, that's the way it's going to go.
Right. Well, like anything that we introduce to our bodies that, that can lead to us being controlled by it, whether it's opioids, alcohol, that sort of thing. I guess in our culture, not quite as much, stigma with alcohol versus drugs, but it's all getting kind of blunted to varying degrees today. But the fact of the matter is that if it's rendering you less than, we have to have some self-analysis. Or, get involved with somebody who loves us enough to confront us to say, look, the party life is over. It's time to do something different. Are you at rock bottom now enough? Are you in enough pain with the current life experience you're going through that you're willing to go through the pain of change?
Right. And that's different for everybody. Part of what I want to tell people, my book is about my experience with addiction, but we all have some things. We all have things.
Yes, we do.
And often many things that push us against the edges of ourselves and what we and show us our limitations and cause us enough pain that we are forced to change or not. But we all have a thing, and we often ask ourselves, is this bad enough that I have to change, whatever it is, the behavior, the relationship, the substance. And instead, we could ask, is this good enough for me to stay the same?
I
think that's a better question. And it's a question that you can approach with curiosity rather than, now my body's really against the wall,
Well, and it also depends, the standard that you're comparing your life with. If it's with other humanoids, as you say, we all have things, so it's like, well, at least my thing's not as bad as your thing. Well, maybe not right now, but it will be. So stay tuned, right? But yeah. So it's depending on where we go. This is why the 12-step program, one of the first things they address is, they call it your quote-unquote higher power. Most of us just flat out know it to be as God and God's standard, but whatever it is that floats your canoe here. But that's where it begins. It really begins with that inner self, that spiritual self that, that body, mind, and spirit. We're tripart human beings. And the fact of the matter is that we're sick. We're sick in totality. We're not just sick just in the spiritual context, because it's manifest in those three areas of our lives.
Yes, and the spiritual part of it is, sometimes trips people up, but the way that it's meant to be conveyed and the 12 steps and is that you go against your values, right?
Yes.
You go against your values and that's a personal thing. And if you look at it that way, it's like, am I conducting my life the way that I would hope to?
Right.
That's the spiritual loss of values. It's not, it's not even really about God.
Yeah, right.
It's God in the sense that when you are your true, I think that the whole reason we're here is to discover our true selves, and our true selves is what is the experience of God. In my experience, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But
are you honoring yourself? Look, we've got to go to break. I appreciate your time, Laura McCowan, and your book. We Are the Luckiest, and more from Laura right after this. Stay with us. It's just about 18 minutes before the top of the hour.
Attention timeshare owners. Are high maintenance fees driving you crazy? Well, how would you like to rent or even sell your timeshare and eliminate your maintenance fees? Now you can by making one quick call to Timeshares by Owner, a national company with an A+ BBB rating that specializes in helping consumers sell or rent their timeshares. And if you call right now, we'll give you a free timeshare market evaluation and explain to you our exclusive double your money back guarantee. Now you don't need to be wasting money on a timeshare you don't always use. You can rent or even sell it. Call right now and get your free market report and learn about our industry-leading double your money back guarantee. Learn your options now on how to sell or rent your timeshare and eliminate most of the cost and headaches. Call now. 800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. That's 800-715-6093.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again.
Ouch!
Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. Here's what our customers had to say.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, a CGM can help you. It's accurate, easy to use, and if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping of your new CGM, and we can bill Medicare for you.
Honestly, I had my doubts, but that new CGM is painless.
Call now. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
Hypertension runs in my family, unfortunately. I started having problems a number of years ago, and I had heard the commercials a number of times, and I personally do not like the idea of being on medication. Even though I'm a physician, you would think, you know, that's our thing, but we just don't like it. So I figured, you know, I'll start the product, and I did, and I got to tell you, it does help. By the grace of God and that product, you know, my labs come back really good all the time, right on the money. I used to always have, like, cold toes in the wintertime, and I used to love going down to Florida for my medical conferences. But since I've been taking the product regularly, I don't have that problem anymore. You got a great product there, Don, and I just wanted to tell you how appreciative I am. Thank you so much.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
America. Bill Martinez here, 14 minutes before the top of the hour, and our conversation with Laura McCowan continues. She's the author of the book, We Are the Luckiest, The Surprising Magic of a Sober Life. I mean, think about that. That's pretty incredible. Laura's promised, I said, when we come back, I'm going to give you an opportunity to tell everybody how they can get their hands on your book. We're going to link it at our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Available at all the usual places, I gather.
All the usual places. You can buy it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of that, and any most bookstores. And all my information and the links to the book and where it's sold and that are on my website, which is my name, LauraMcCowan.com. And, yeah, and there's an audiobook version. People love audiobooks now, and there's Kindle version, too.
So. I got to imagine the response from people who have been reading your book. This has to be affirming for you, you know, because when you bear yourself out like this, maybe at first part, you know, you go, well, are people going to really be interested in the story? Even though you've been speaking, you know, to groups of people and the response has been very positive, but to really test it outside of the, in somewhat protected categories, when you go to give speeches and you're talking about the sober life, that's one thing. But when you go in and you're making it available for the rest of the population, probably people are realizing, God, this is probably more meaningful to me than I really thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I had my first the book just came out January 7th, so it's been out a week and a couple of days, and I had my first reading last night in Boston, where I live,
yes.
And it was phenomenal. I mean, the response, because you don't know, you're right, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking and writing about this for many years, but nothing that could reach so widely as a book. And I'm getting messages from, emails and messages from people who are reading it and all over the world. And it is quite beautiful that it's reaching people that way.
Kind of amazing how universal the challenge is.
There's a lot for every person that tells me that they're struggling with addiction. The same way I did, there's another person who says, alcohol is not my thing, but I needed to read this because I have this going on in my life. I'm going through a divorce, or I have a chronic illness or something. We suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Humans suffer, and it's,
right.
It's part of the deal. So any story, I've always been intrigued by stories of, the human spirit triumphing.
Yes, triumphing.
I don't know where it is.
Yes, triumphing.
Triumphing.
Yes,
that's
I'm with
strong.
You. Right. No, I understand. Well, and I think that, you mentioned this early on when we first started talking about the identification, in your particular case, as an alcoholic. But that's how we triumph, is we let go of that identification. I know in some cases once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. I think that's debilitating. I mean, once an alcoholic doesn't necessarily mean that you always are. It's just, hey, look at you, as I was sharing with somebody else earlier, one of my favorite nuggets is that, experience defines preference. And your experience with alcohol has defined a preference, for you.
Wow.
And,
yeah.
And I think that's the opportunity for any of us dealing, like I said, we all got a thing,
we're all dealing with.
But the deal is that what do we want to be identified? We don't want to be identified by that thing. We want to be identified by that which makes us triumphant, right?
Yeah, I love that experience defines preference. I mean, I just feel like addiction is something that I have experienced.
Yes.
But it's not, I'm a human above all, and nobody has to take any label that feels punitive to them, certainly.
Right, exactly.
And it's not the most important thing about me,
Well, and that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. When we discover our spiritual selves, it's in search for that number one question that all humanoids have is, who am I? Why am I here?
What am I doing here?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what we all want to know. The number one thing is that movie Willow. Remember, he says, it's that one thing. Our significance. What is it that makes us significant? And when we really understand that, then we start rejecting the things that debilitate and get in the way of that significance. Right.
That's right. That's exactly right. And this is sort of leads me to that point. When I love this quote by the Gospel of Thomas, it says, if you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was such a pivotal point in my life in my sobriety, when I read that, because what is yours to bring forth is your potential. It's who you are. It is that connection to God, that true, the truest part
exactly.
of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And not bringing that forth is not a benign thing in our lives. It
mm-hmm.
manifests as bitterness and depression and resentment when we know what that looks like in others when we see it, and we know what it feels like in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are our things? Give us they're actually invitations always. Our
exactly.
pain is an invitation
mm-hmm.
to go there.
Exactly. And to draw it out, again, we're reminded so often that, to thine own self be true, but you got to know who you are to know what you're being true to. And the other thing that you know, I'm reminded of again in the first segment of our conversation talking about friends, is that, you know, friends are important, but they have to be friends that are consistent and true and understanding and appreciative of your, you know, your mission and your search and discovery, and that they can add to the experience. I don't think that we do this on an island. I think part of our makeup is that we should have friends. I mean, this is why, whether, you're an alcoholic and you or whatever, you got your thing to do, and you get other people that have the same thing. So you just, you kind of help each other, but in the wrong way,
Now it's
time to find those friends that can help you in a positive way, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I would add, John O'Donohue, who's this late Irish poet, author, theologian, said friends are those who want good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, yes, we should have friends that are consistent and there for us and all that. But I would go further and say we need friends who can hold up the vision of what we could be and what we, of our highest good and our highest selves for us.
Yes,
and want to help draw us towards that, and us for them, right?
Right, exactly.
They're much different than I had in Virginia.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would think they are, and what you touched on is so critical, and that is having people in your life who think higher of you, that see the higher part of you that is not yet manifested, and those are the ones that we've it's like, where have you been all my life? I mean, you know, we may not express it in that way, but we're so grateful to be in their proximity. Who was it? The actor that won the what he won the Tony? He won the Tony last year. I loved.
Oh God,
his,
no.
His thing, Shields. Let me see here.
Oh, I don't know his name, but I know the actor you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. And because I Andre DeShields, and he was in Hadestown, right? And I love his three rules of longevity, and this is consistent with what you've been sharing with us. He says, number one, surround yourself with people whose eyes light up when they see you coming.
Aww.
How cool is that, huh?
So and, cool.
And he says, slowly is the fastest way to get where you want to be. And then the third thing, the top of one mountain is the bottom of the next, so keep climbing.
So good.
Just a great, great, great nuggets. But I particularly am endeared by the one, and I'm watchful of those people that I come in contact whose eyes light up when they see you coming.
Yes, you know? And I don't think a lot of people have that. And I think it's honestly, I talk about this a lot in the book. It's because we are afraid to be honest with ourselves and with other people about who we really are. Because we think if we do that, they're not going to love us, right? And
exactly.
The opposite is what's true. You honesty brings you closer to love, even if it's uncomfortable in the near term. It's what's going to actually bring you closer to love.
I like also in the book, you get very philosophical here. And I think that this may even be out of your spiritual roots as well, where mm-hmm. you say, I can't do this, but something inside me can.
Mm-hmm.
Share with our audience what that meant to you.
Yeah, I had this sense in early sobriety because it was so profoundly difficult for me. It was really emotionally difficult and physically difficult, and I was out of my depth, and yet, like, I didn't know how to do my life sober, let alone the next week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the week, let alone my life.
Right.
But I knew something inside me did. I knew something inside me did, and I would say that is based on my spiritual roots. It's like, you don't know how to do a lot of things, but something inside you knows how to do that, right?
Right, right.
And that can carry you all the way.
Yeah, and that's pretty powerful. I mean, because that's faith in you, faith in the essence of who you are, and that part that maybe for a moment is clouded because of the addiction and the thing that you're dealing with, but it's there nonetheless. It may be clouded, but it's there, and it is our North Star and our compass that can get us where it is that we know we should be, because that's the grief to happiness ratio. You know, the grief is where we are, the happiness is where we can be. Laura McCowan has been our guest. Her book, We Are the Lucky
luckiest, as I say, it's going to be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Laura, thank you so much for being with us. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
This is Fred.